Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Today we talk, unlike Nathaniel, who was giving the silent treatment the whole show, Josh dating in therapy, Heather and Hector tying the knot, and Bunch is back, bitches! Or is she? Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Episode 3, Season 4, I'm on my own path. After show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin. Don't do it,
quickest way to ruin your life. I really, look, this 90s feel to this song really gave me life. I'm not gonna lie.
It was so fun.
I felt that, especially as a person who has a law degree and does nothing in the legal field. So I completely understood everything that was being said in the song. I don't agree with it necessarily, but I did like it. Hi, everybody. We are, of course, the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend After Show. My name's Teron. Usually Bree is here, but I'm filling in as a panelist. I've moved on up to the east side, and I have a wonderful, wonderful panel joining me today. I have Drew Jones and Sherry Davis.
Hey, guys.
Filling in as we talk about Josh Chan in therapy, dating as well, which I think is one and the same. Heather and Hector getting married, pretzels or law, the big question of the show. And we're going to discuss, of course, in depth the songs, news and gossip, which Drew has pulled up. Yep. And we're going to miss Bree the entire show. So thank you so much for watching. Stay tuned as we get into it. Remember, this isn't just our show. It's your show, too. We love to hear from you on the live read. Sherry's on the computer checking in every second. How did you both enjoy this episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious, and I love the way she's still careening, trying to find herself. And of course, who doesn't hate dating apps?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, they're actually the worst. But I'm glad that we're finally in the show where she's taking full accountability for her actions. Well, she's attempting to. So baby steps, but I like where it's going.
Well, Sherry, I've never used a dating app, so I don't know if I would hate one or not. And I think that it's because I would love them so much that I haven't got on one. I'd be addicted. But I also appreciate Drew's comment on the fact that this is her finding her path. And I believe that as the final final season, this is what's going on, or it's the story arc of this season. As each title indicates, this title, of course, was I'm on my own path, which we also speak to later in the show. I want to get right into the meat, right? And I felt not only was this a great episode with great songs, especially the Don't Be a Lawyer song. I wasn't so sold on the Our Twisted Fate as much.
Yeah, that was... I wasn't a fan.
It was cute, but it wasn't as great. Don't Be a Lawyer was just the shining star. One of the best songs they've done throughout the entire show. So I want to get into the meat. Josh Chan is in therapy, which is what Rebecca states. Josh Chan is in therapy was shock. Were either of you shocked that Josh was in therapy indeed?
No, he needs to have been in therapy for a long time. I mean, he's one of those rudderless people who just go about doing whatever the strongest personality tells them to do. And so that's been his issue as far as love. He's one of those people who are never really alone and single. They're constantly in a relationship, getting ready to get in a relationship, broken up, and have overlap. And so he needs counseling to figure out himself because he didn't go through the finding yourself like most people do in their late teens, early 20s.
Sherry's saying this like she has experience dating Josh Chan or his counterpart. The way
I
you said
dated
it.
Dated Josh.
I was like, I feel like every girl's had a Josh Chan.
Josh Chan in their life?
Yeah.
They're nice.
It was like a happy like surprise. I was like, oh, good for you.
So we're all in agreement that Josh should be in therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
He shouldn't be in his ex-girlfriend's therapy with her psychiatrist husband, but you know.
Do you feel like that's a conflict, Sherry?
Oh, yeah. That doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
I don't think so. I mean, they can't.
They'll be running together.
I mean, I get each other. The possibility of them running into each other that frequently, I just don't feel like is.
It's all depending on the scheduling.
Yeah.
The concept I was most intrigued by was the thought that husband and wife clearly have something to talk about at home.
Yes.
And even though we all are so strongly in the belief that the confidentiality of therapists and doctors and anyone in that profession, even legal profession, we are very confident in that confidentiality clause, that's not real. That's
yeah.
That's a matter of our hopes and dreams and thoughts. The truth is, people talk.
Yes.
And I like where Sherry's going with the fact that there might be a conflict later on where they discuss Josh and Rebecca's private lives.
They totally will. I mean, she probably talks to her husband. They probably use synonyms or acronyms.
Pseudonyms.
To sort of act like it's not the same person. But you know, I mean, he found the husband from her. I mean, it's just too much. It's him still not being able to break away. And him still kind of leaning on someone else with a stronger person.
Did we think that Josh knew that they would share a therapy or a therapist connection going into the therapist?
He knew that was his ex-girlfriend's psychiatrist's husband. That's how he found him on Yelp.
And while I don't think Josh is dumb, I don't think he necessarily thinks about things like that. Like, oh, maybe he'll go talk. My therapist will go talk to Rebecca's therapist.
And he wouldn't think that.
Yeah.
No.
So I think he was a little.
It just went over his head.
Yeah.
But Josh does have subtle indications of extreme intelligence every now and then. Just flashes of brilliance where he drops knowledge.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a savant.
I don't think he's... I feel like intelligence shouldn't just be measured on being like book smart. I think there's different... And he's definitely intelligent in his own lane. And so... But I don't think he's like intelligent in the same way that like Rebecca is just like ridiculously book smart.
No, he's not book smart. But he's nice smart. And his niceness usually forces people to be nice to him.
In return.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard to be mean to people when they're just ignoring and being oblivious to you being unpleasant. And eventually, like, you feel you have to either be nice to them or leave them alone. Or everyone's like, why are you picking on the nice person? I don't understand.
Being that Rebecca was so shocked regarding Josh Chan being in therapy because, I mean, to her, Josh was the epitome of perfection at one point. What do you think drove Josh to go seek out help?
Everyone telling him you can't get psychological advice from those apps on Facebook, which is true. And
is
then
it?
I think he feels like he's asundered. I mean, he went from living at his parents' house to living with his girlfriend, back to his parents' house. Now he's living with his friend's mother. He's not... I think deep down in his mind, he knows he's not adulting right, but he still thinks it's okay because it's what he's always done. But he's looking around everyone else having children, getting married, going on to like career paths or whatever. And I think he thinks there's something that needs to be tweaked, but he doesn't think he needs to change completely. I think he thinks he's okay. He just needs a little bit of a tweak, but he still plans on living with his friend's mom.
Well, the heck, there's mom. Well, do you think Sherry? Do you think that it's his life place right now? So that's the only thing. Because I was wondering if it's everything going on with Valencia pushed him into therapy. Drew, thoughts?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. I don't. I just feel like for some people, I feel like he's just taking baby steps. Josh Chan isn't the type to, you know, make huge leaps towards something. And so I feel like this was just a simple little, oh, I can do this. And in my mind, I'm doing enough to change everything. It's like when people, you know, decide that they're going to change their whole eating habits and want to go to the gym and everything, and so they eat like an apple, but then still don't go work out, and they don't.
So it's like basically buying a gym membership but not going to the gym.
Like,
or even if you go to the gym, not taking full advantage of the gym.
Yeah, just like walking on the treadmill. Like, I feel like it's a comfortable enough step for him, but it's still not necessarily him going in the right. I mean, not in the right. He's going in the right direction. But I feel like it's him not really pushing himself to completely change. It's just enough for him to say, well, I'm trying.
That's interesting because I felt in this episode he actually had changed quite a bit. We see a very introspective Josh who we had not seen before. We see a Josh who's more aware, even if he's not exactly intelligently aware of the situation. He understands the situation more. Clearly, with the concept of with dating, the Uber calling every date he goes on and not understanding that Uber would not do that.
Wouldn't do that.
That was very funny.
I thought that was funny. And it also, I think, is sort of like pinging his mind because he's always been desired and picked on by all these women who are like, oh, Josh is wonderful. I'm totally happy to be with you. And all of a sudden he's running into these other women who he assumed would be able to just slot right into being his new girlfriend. Who were looking at him and thinking, oh, I was kind of looking for a hookup, or I was looking for someone who...
Yeah, Zoe was together. Looking for a hookup. Let's get right into Josh dating, because I felt that the therapy and the dating went hand in hand.
Yeah.
He became ready for dating. Maybe it was an onset of the therapy. Maybe it was also the time that's passed. Maybe it was the fact that his ex-girlfriend has become a lesbian. And the girlfriend before that was charged with murder. Maybe all these things play a part, right?
Yeah.
So right into the dating life of Josh Chan, we see him using apps, dating, and then going on miserable dates back to back.
He's never done app dating, though. He's already been able to just slip right into meeting a nice woman or been relentlessly pursued by a nice woman or just meet cute. Most people are not lucky. I mean, I don't know about any of you, but most people don't get to meet cute just constantly. It's like a once-in-a-lifetime Cupid moment. And now he's having to date the way most people date, which is, it's not as much fun.
Well, less lucky people who just meet cute all the time.
I don't know. I've never been on a app. Like, I've been on the apps because I work in producing, and so like we look for people through dating apps, so I know what they look like and everything, but I've never been on a date from a dating app, and I feel like people
I don't know
just...
Drew, I'm pretty sure a friend of mine has swiped right or two.
I mean, they probably swiped right on me. Okay. But we didn't go on a date because I've just never been on one. But I feel like people BS, like, it's very easy to make yourself look very, you know, nice and put together in a dating app. You can't really like vibe anybody out, so I feel like that's why Josh is kind of going on these weird dates, because it's picture perfect, but then once they sit down, it's not so much.
It was interesting because it was Josh who was coming off picture perfect. He used pictures where he was trying to denote his hobbies, and to the girls who were going after him, it denoted something else.
Yes, it was all shirtless, looking super sexy and cute, and Josh is very sexy and cute, so that was an easy thing to do. But also,
especially shirtless, let's be honest, shirtless Josh is a thing.
Like, yes. And Rebecca made some suggestions on his dating profile that I think were what she would look for, but since she doesn't date very well, she wasn't the person he should have asked to sort of...
So Rebecca was the worst person to ask advice from and help choose. She did choose Zoe.
Yes. Yes.
She did choose Zoe, who I thought it was really cute that he like researched art history.
I thought that was so cute.
I was like, oh, bless your heart. Because he just, when he was like talking, I was like, what, did he memorize this? Because it was just so, and this is because blah, 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 blah.
It did seem like he had memorized
it. Yeah, it was really cute. But
especially when he said, I wasn't expecting you to disagree with the statement I made, which I took as just fact.
Yes, he had no comprehension.
Yeah. Sorry, I have the hiccups. Hold on one second.
Oh, that's totally cool. But I thought it was darling. But the other thing
and
is...
And we should do a hiccup song right now.
To me, he's probably on Tinder or something, and Tinder is more of a hookup.
It's a hookup
dating
app.
Versus some of the other dating apps that are like for people who are really looking to date and meet somebody.
Exploring the concept of Rebecca
Not
wasn't
that
the
I
best
know
person.
About such things.
Actually, you knew a lot about such things. Exploring the concept that Rebecca wasn't the best person to ask, Rebecca did admittedly say she was not the best person to give advice, even though she offered it and was almost imposing in doing so.
But then she did it anyway.
She, of course, that is the Rebecca way to do things. So when we ask Rebecca, Drew, you had brought up that Rebecca isn't the best person. Why is Rebecca not a good date chooser?
Actually, because I think Rebecca has a very, like, narrow, you know, way of seeing things, and it's my way's right, and that's it. And so I think what works for her isn't necessarily going to work for Josh, but she obviously was trying to put what she thinks would work for Josh on Josh, and clearly that did not work well for him.
Rebecca's an anomaly for the type of woman Josh usually ends up with anyway. I don't think he usually dates women as educated as that. He normally dates women who are, you know, are high school graduates or went to trade school or
something. What are we thinking of Valencia then?
Valencia? I don't think. I know she graduated from high school. It sounds like, to me, Valencia seems like she went to community college or something. She could have gone to a four-year college, but she just, that wasn't what she was really interested in.
Valencia comes off very intelligent to me.
Yes, but I don't think that going to a certain college or going to community college, I don't think that defines, or not even going to college at all, I don't think that defines a person's, like, intelligence or, you know, dateability. And I feel like that was the perfect example of him going on this date with this art history major who just wanted to get it in and leave. And she just automatically assumed because of the art history major and she went to Brown that she was going to be wife material. And that wasn't the case.
It's not so much that someone goes to a certain college or whatever. What I mean is as far as conversation and certain interests. So him trying to date someone who went to school and has a master's or PhD in art history, who may or may not want to date someone who as is interested in art history as that. She may want to have someone for a casual hookup, so she doesn't care where they went to school or what they did. But usually people sort of are on the same level. Even if you haven't gone to college, you can self-educate yourself and be able to carry on a conversation about a variety of topics. But if that's not what you're interested in and you're trying to date someone who does like that, then that's going to cause problems. Unless you're only interested in hooking up with them or you don't listen to your significant other and you just think, oh, you're super hot, so I don't care what you say. Whatever.
Well, I got the slight impression that Josh was looking for more than a hookup.
Yes.
Relationship.
No, Josh
He's
is
not
a
the
hookup,
hookup person. No. Zoe was clearly interested in a hookup. Yes. Josh had the lane and did not take it.
No. He's probably a hookup. Bang, wang, hang, wait, no.
Bang, wang.
Bam, wang, bam.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yes. See, I don't know about such things. He's not a wham,
and
bam.
I have too much abundant knowledge of such things. Is that? Okay. Thank
Josh
you.
Is like a nice guy who just, he likes being in a relationship. And so that's what he's looking for. That's what he's into. But in all honesty, to me, Josh is someone that really needs to just date and just be single for a while and get to know himself. I'm hoping with his psychiatrist will like sort of bring to his attention, you go from relationship to relationship to you sort of leaning on someone all the time. You need to be alone for a little while, or at least even trying just date to figure out what your type is, since all the women he's dated have been kind of like take charge, push him in a certain direction to make him do certain things. No, some men like that.
Some men do, some men don't. What do we think as a panel that Josh's type or dream woman is, Drew?
Josh's dream woman.
Who would we choose for Josh? Is there any character right now on the show that we would choose for Josh?
No.
No.
I don't think there's, maybe, oh God, what's her name that works at the law firm that was Barry, Katie Barry.
Oh, now I call her Katy Barry.
Yeah. I feel like Katy Barry and Josh would maybe be
a good
couple.
That's a good pairing. Sherry?
I don't think I haven't really seen anyone on the show that would be good for Josh. But to me, a good person for Josh is someone who's sort of casual, who's equally chill, who just wants to be what I'd call happy. Josh likes someone who is physically active, going to run around with him, play video games, sort of like a kid at heart, the way he's a kid at heart, but still an adult because Josh will work. He is responsible. He just needs someone to sort of like push him. But I really think that's not that's what he's used to, but that isn't what he should end up with. What he should end up with someone who's more of a partner, where they're both able to sort of like move forward without him having to look for a mom replacement or to be a mom wife or whatever.
Well, maybe he needs to end up with Hector's mom. They do live together.
He does think she's attractive.
She is attractive. Things could happen. I don't know. That's definitely something we'll have for you in predictions. As
Hector would not like that.
Hector would not like that, but this show is all about that. In a prediction, I believe Drew has something to let all the AfterBuzzers know at home.
Yes. Hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking you to please subscribe to one or more channels, and by subscribing, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And don't even worry about those annoying notifications, because you can turn them off. So hit the subscribe button, check out all of our AfterBuzz YouTube channels, and let us know what you think in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
I would like to thank everyone for watching. Share and subscribe. We appreciate each and every one of you. Remember, this isn't our show. It's all of our show. We are a family here at AfterBuzz, and thank you for being a part of our family. Speaking of family and, of course, dating, let's move one step beyond dating to Heather and Hector getting married.
I love it.
Was this a shock to anyone else?
I thought they really loved each other. I didn't realize they'd get married impulsively, but it was so cute. I loved it.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I also wasn't really surprised by it, because I feel like Heather especially is a very, I'm not going to do things traditionally. So why she saw that, you know, they benefited from marriage, so she was like, let's get married. And it was kind of...
Well, getting married because of insurance is such a millennial thing to do. I believe I stayed with a girl simply because I didn't know the Netflix password.
Insurance is dang expensive once you get hurt.
And that's just how it works. Okay. Insurance is extremely expensive, and I love how they touch on a lot of subjects on the show. Yes. Of course, we all know about the concept of psychology and mental therapy and health, mm-hmm. which is a big thing. Even Psychology Today wrote a whole report on. But not having insurance is also something a lot of people struggle with. We have something like 144 million Americans to this that have no type of insurance whatsoever, mm-hmm. which is almost half the population, and probably even more. A lot of us just lie and say we have insurance, so I don't know. The concept is, was that a good enough reason to get married?
I think it was already in the back of her mind, but I think when she realized he really wasn't going to the doctor because he didn't have insurance, and he was just hoping it would get better, just made her think, you know, I've been thinking about this in the back of my mind, you know, let's just do it now, whatever. She doesn't need a traditional wedding. That's not something that's in her mind. It's something that he cared about. But as far as just getting married, I was like, I thought they were going to get married like in like a week or two. I didn't realize they were going to get married
right then and there.
Well, it's got to get his toe fixed. So it's got to be ASAP. But I also feel like millennials don't really take marriage as seriously as generations before us have. So it didn't seem that extreme to me. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, you know. And his toe was nasty. Like, he needed to get that.
Oh, yeah.
He needed to get it checked. He needed to get it checked. But I do want to remind people, because they got married, everyone thinks, in the church and towards the end, but they didn't get married at the church towards the end. They got married in a courthouse. And that's where people actually get married, because it's a contract between two people. Mm-hmm. The concept is, it's almost a business arrangement, and that's why there's tax breaks given. Mm-hmm. With this marriage, do you think it will be a successful one between Heather and Hector, or are there problems on the horizon?
I think it will be successful, A, because she has a good example of a long marriage in her own parents. Hector has the example of what didn't work with his. And they were like true friends for a long time. Not even friends where he was trying to trick her into dating him. We're just like straight up friends. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, hey, we have things in common. Oh, hey, we find each other attractive. And then it slowly built. It wasn't like an impulsive or I'm going to hook up with you and, you know, this is okay. And that little speech she gave about why she wanted to get married to him and why they were getting married really cemented that A, it was something she was thinking about. She just hadn't articulated it to him.
She had not.
Yeah, I think Heather and Hector are like two of the only characters really who have consistently been able to acknowledge issues that they face and like work in a healthy way to overcome them, even them discussing, you know, the whole marriage thing. At first she shut it down, but then she kind of was able to self-reflect and come around to it, because at the end of the day it was important to him, so it was important to her. I feel like they're the only two who really...
Well, the wedding part, because the marriage part, I thought it was very interesting that Heather was the first one to toss it out, and so callously. And it was actually interesting that Hector was a little resistant in the beginning, but for his reasons of, I wanted it to be special, or I wanted it to be more, and then went through with it anyway. Were we surprised by Hector's resistance to the idea of being married right away?
Some people like the idea of getting married in church, depending on their religious belief. And I was surprised that he agreed to get married at the Justice of the Police. I mean, Justice of the Peace, but I understood he needed it for the insurance. And in the back of his mind, I think he thought, well, we'll renew our marriage, you know, like in a year, and have like a little party or ceremony later on. But both of them, if you really listen to what they're both saying, they both are saying, we plan on being married for a long time. This isn't just for the insurance. We love each other, and this is like a real relationship.
Yeah, and I don't think he was super hesitant. Because he even was like, well, you know, now we're married, we can go have the official wedding. Because I know lots of people who get married and then are married for a few months and then have the wedding.
That's because, like, of time. Sometimes it's time. Money is a big factor in not getting married.
Weddings are quite expensive.
That's super normal. So, I don't know. I think they're going to make it.
I hope they make it. Because like as a couple, they are my favorite. And I love me some Heather. I would marry her. You wouldn't even need to give me insurance, Heather.
They're both emotionally mature. They're the only truly emotionally mature people on the show.
Or the ones who at least are okay with who they are as people, regardless, for their perfections and imperfections, both. Well, imperfect is a way of Rebecca's life. Mm-hmm. And when we heard Bunches back, I felt that all of us got really excited. But is she really back? And we see this as a conflict in the show. Pretzels or law? The big question that she asked herself. Do we think or feel that Bunch was back? Rebecca was ready to be back at the law firm to begin with.
I wasn't convinced at all that she needed to be at the law firm or was ready to go to the law firm. Because, I mean, at the beginning of this show was her backing out of, you know, getting a promotion in her law firm in New York.
Of course. She had to go get a smoothie. Yeah, she needs to go get a smoothie.
Law's never been something that she's been passionate about, ever. She's never spoken about it passionately. So for her to come back and be on this path to redemption and living a healthy life, I felt like I already kind of knew that law wasn't going to be a part of that path for her.
Yeah, she's never loved the law. She just did it because she was good at it. It was expected. Her mother strikes me as one of those people who are like, either go to medical school or go to law school. There's
a lot of parents are that way.
Jobs in the world. And so she did it because it was expected. And I think when, at the beginning of this series, when they had that moment where she was going to get the real promotion, the big promotion, all of a sudden, like, hit her what this meant was that she was just stuck doing this for the rest of her life. And she hated it. So she idealized a relationship she had when she was in high school and ran to, like, this romantic ideal that she had. And she's still sort of... It almost was like she's still stuck in that idealized fantasy that she's being forced to confront by her psychiatrist.
Sure, but she's good at it.
She's good at it now.
Does that play a part in that decision? She's good at it, and she knows she's good at it. She is extremely good when dealing with Miss LeGrand. Is that a part of why she's doing it? And do we feel like a lot of people in that firm are doing it for the same reason?
I think it's not like they're an exciting, fun type of law. It's
is there such thing as fun law, though?
There are forms of fun law. And as the song brings up, which we're going to get into, the song explains that most of those don't pay. Criminal law can be exciting, but of course, and there's another thing, it's a soul destroyer. A lot of law is soul destroyers, whether it's because of the tedious nature or because you're doing something you know technically to be wrong. You are living in the loophole of life. With law, do we feel that her being good at law, is she going to be as good at owning a pretzel shop? Her pretzels did sell very well. She created pretzels for Jim.
She's so creative.
Former coworker, yes.
But she gets really excited about things for a little while, and then she kind of gets board.
Very interesting.
But being a lawyer and managing a business are relatable, transferable skills. It's just, will she be able to stick to it? I think with someone like Rebecca, what would really happen is she'd start this business, do it for a little while, hire a manager to take care of it, and then she'd just go off to do something else. And then fall back on the law to maintain her lifestyle when she had to, and then go back to doing what she wants.
Well, one of the really big things when I spoke on Josh saying profound things at the wrong time, but with the right intent, Josh says, stop trying to be who someone else wants me to be and be who I want to be.
Yes.
And that's where we see this epiphany within Rebecca herself, where she goes from law, lying about not getting her bar paper or using that as an excuse, working in the pretzel shop for Jim. Mm-hmm. And then at the what was it called? Pretzel Palace? Pretzel mm-hmm. Central. Pretzel Central. And then going back to law. And then at the end, of course, deciding between pretzel or law, deciding pretzel. Deciding on pretzel. Rebecca's going through her own transformation. Yes. We also see a good transformation in Nathaniel and the silent treatment. What do we think about that?
I like Nathaniel.
Do you like Nathaniel?
He's handsome.
But is that all he needs to be for Rebecca or to win her back? Because that's what he decides at the end.
I think Nathaniel isn't a bad person. I think he had not the best dad sample as far as looking at someone in a good relationship and how to treat people. But I really think that them together kind of complement each other and they like each other because she needs someone who's strong-willed that she can't bulldoze and run over completely. I'd like to see them together, but I kind of think they both need counseling to figure out how to become more emotionally mature and, I don't want to say the word stable, but less, more impulse control.
I like Nathaniel. I just think in some way he's a little bit more polished.
Drew, I'm shocked you like Nathaniel. I was sure you would be like, no. Nathaniel's no good for Rebecca.
I think he's a little bit more polished version of Rebecca. I think he doesn't show his crazy in the same way that she does, but the only thing that really irks me with him is the, you know, my dad sucks trope that we're kind of getting a lot from him, like, well, I'm this way because of my dad. Like, a lot of us, you know, didn't have the best parents, and we still have to function like normal human beings, and we still have to treat people nicely and whatever, and I feel like sometimes he kind of uses that as a crutch, and so if he gets that under control and, you know, gets into some therapy, I think they would be
maybe they cute. Should get a group therapy discount as yeah. a group,
like references.
Do we think Nathaniel gets Rebecca back?
I think he will. I think she likes him, she loves him, she's gotten to know him. They've had she thinks Rebecca's the type of person who thinks love is one where it's a lot of emotional upheaval, and having someone who's totally easy and pleasant will bore her after a while and isn't going to satisfy what she thinks of as love. Like, some people think love is somewhat abusive or emotionally upsetting or whatever. And when they find someone who's nice to them all the time, they're like, well, you don't really love me because you're not making me upset. You're not causing me extreme emotions. But I think once she gets counsel a little bit better, she'll realize that her wanting these certain traits are not good for her because of her emotional.
Cherry, that's beautiful. Who hurt you? Okay, let's watch the song. I think we unanimously decided that Don't Be a Lawyer was our favorite. Let's watch the Don't Be a Lawyer video on mute and discuss what's going on. Now, for everyone listening in on podcast, we see Jim, from the beginning, Jim just pulls off his pretzel apron and starts discussing about the flaws of being a lawyer. And it's very fun. It's a fun song. Some of the lines that I remember are the Ally McBeal reference where people don't look like, lawyers don't look like Ally McBeal. Something, we are all programmed to think that lawyers look a certain way or mm-hmm. act a certain way or are a certain person. As a person who's been to law school, trust me, a lot of idiots in law school. Now, we also hear Jeff Sessions reference. We see the back on the chalkboard as they go into the classroom and start telling people not to be lawyers. We see the allowed items, very funny. And they're, of course, in 90s gear, which is colorful suits and ties and doing 90s dances. Very good, strong dance routine. We also see or hear lines like Soul Destroyer, which I referenced, but quickest way to ruin your life. Law is the quickest way to ruin your life. Thoughts?
I mean, I have a few friends who are lawyers, and they've gotten very cynical since, you know, we all graduated college and they went off to law school. They've gotten, you know, pretty cynical.
Law school itself is very difficult. I would say 3 years, especially the first year, because the first year is designated into weeding people out. They give you, basically, 48 hours of work to do, and you only have 24 hours to do it. So not only do you have to crash and cram every day, you also have to decide and prioritize what's important and what's not.
Yeah, and that's totally understandable. And then if you're lawyers, you know, focus on the law. So at least from what I've noticed, a lot of people get very black and white with situations. There's no, well, maybe, because like in law, it's either right or it's wrong. There's no.
Well, that's the thing about the law. The law is one size fits all.
Yeah.
And you live within these loopholes, and it's meant to be that way. Which is interesting, and it creates a lot of interesting discussions. Would you ever be a lawyer, Sherry?
When I was in college, my professor told me I should go to law school because he said I didn't think linearly and would train me how to think properly. But I was like, it seems like a lot of money to teach me how to think like everybody else, so I didn't do it. I would like to be a lawyer, but I must admit, when I say I want to be a lawyer, I mean I want to be a TV lawyer. He's guilty!
Guilty!
You know, the exciting,
on TV,
part.
It seems very exciting
very
and fun.
Exciting and fun.
I wanted the law degree simply for my own edification and education. I feel that I enjoy being educated, and so I have a master's in a law degree that I don't use whatsoever. Obviously, I do comedy. I do stand-up. I do comedy. I do TV shows. And none of it applies, and yet all of it applies. So it's a very interesting dichotomy. I would advise, if you're interested in the law at home, you should go to law school. Just know what you're getting into. Maybe intern. Maybe go and speak to some lawyers. But don't let someone else's blockings block your blessings. Let's get into some news and gossip.
Yes, let's do it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so Scott Michael Foster, who plays Nathan on the show, opened up with Metro. And basically, he was just saying that he really appreciates that they can get into men's mental health, because it's not something that's talked about a lot.
Definitely.
And so he said, I think Nathaniel's journey, it's not done yet, and no one's is. And the thing is, there's ups and downs. He's made some good strides, and then he's come back and revert to his old ways before. There's no happily ever after. And it's a constant struggle to work on yourself, but he's doing it, and I'm proud to portray a character like that. And then Bustle kind of just did a little article about Josh and Heather, and how Rebecca isn't the only one who's evolving that we've gotten to watch. They've been on the show since day one, and we've gotten to kind of see them both in their own ways go forward. And so Bustle just praised the show for letting us see, you know, different people's paths on their mental health journey.
I personally appreciate the show for bringing up a lot of concepts that we don't speak about in society and amongst ourselves, so bravo to them. And thank you so much for Nathaniel for speaking up on it. And I will call him Nathaniel, since both of you love him so, so much. Well, let's get into predictions. Of course, we did have the song Our Twisted Fate, which we didn't like as much. It was about the pretzels being a twist of fate and all the things that came along with it. Feel free to watch that video. What are your predictions for the upcoming episode and season arc, Cherry?
I think that Josh is going to eventually move out and live by himself and not date anyone. I think he's going to be single for a little while.
Single and not ready to mingle.
Not ready to mingle. He needs to work on himself and spend some alone Josh time. Rebecca is going to play with the pretzel company, but she'll realize that it's too structured to work for a corporation. And so, as we saw in the final moments, she was opening up her own independent little, like, coffee, pretzel, whatever shop. She'll realize it's a little bit harder, but then she'll be able to utilize her law degree to get any rulings to be able to open everything up.
I guess mine are going to go a little bit more towards how I want to see the season end.
Okay, Drew.
I would love to see Josh get out of West Covina and travel and kind of, you know, be a little bit more cultured and open his eyes to lots of possibilities. The feminist in me wants Rebecca not to end up with anyone and to just learn some type of, like, obviously she can't have complete self-love because it's just a four-season show, but some type of, like, you know, happiness within, without a man. But since this is TV and, you know, no one cares about that, I think she's going to probably end up with, I would like to see her end up with Nathan if she's going to end up with somebody, because I think they do work in some weird, twisted way.
Interesting. I think if any show is going to care about it on TV, it's going to be My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And I really like your idea of Rebecca ending up by herself. I do think that Josh ends up with Hector's mom.
Maybe they go together.
Maybe they do. And that Nathaniel will try, but I think he's going to ultimately fail because of the Rebecca storyline of finding herself not within someone else, but within herself. I do want to know what you all think at home. So please write in the comments below your predictions for the show. Any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, favorite song lines, anything of that nature. And for our little quick poll that I want to go through, there were throws out of Rebecca to puns of the word narc, where we heard narc Zuckerberg was a good one, narcoposy, and narc by narc Jacobs. What was your favorite narc pun? Love to hear from you below in the comments below. Thank you so much for being here with us today, and thank our wonderful panel for being with us here today. Where can people find you if you want to be found? Cherry.
Cherry_on on Twitter and on Instagram.
And you guys can find me on all the things at OK Drew J.
And I am Teron, literally at I am Teron, all across the board on Social Atmosphere. Bree, we miss you. We love you. Can't wait to have you back. But from now till then, until we have episode 4, this has been the My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend After Show, because she is my crazy ex-girlfriend. I'll see you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.